Begin the current daf and settles, but become a daf tezayin. Begin on the bottom line of daf tezvav and beis, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf. That is, the Gemara had asked the following contradiction in the Mishnah that was introduced on the previous daf. The Mishnah contrasted five tamen and five muadin. There are five categories which are only chayav chatzi nezik. They're tam, they're unusual, and then there's when it's nezik shalom because it's usual. It's what's called a muad. So the Gemara asked, one of those five that were mentioned as a muad was shein, which is said, shein is mu'edis lechel, it's considered mu'ed to eat something which is normal for it, which points out the Gemara. Obviously, we talk about in the Chatzar Nizik, because we know the shein in regal is exempt in Rishas Rab, the only chayiv in Rishas Nizik. Now, and yet, when they spoke about the five tamen, it said that regarding Karen, that there it's not going to be mu'ed, it's only going to be a tam, it's going to be only chayiv chatzi nezik, which obviously we talk about, as we just explained from one of the cases of Mu'adin, Rishas Nizik. Who holds Karen Mishusa Nizik is Chayb on the Chatzin Nizik? That's like the Rabbanan, who they say when you have something Karen Mishuna, which is Tam, the first few times, even in the Chatzin Nizik, it's only going to be Chayb Chatzin Nizik. Now, the difficulty with that is because one of the other five cases of Mu'adin are what's called Shur HaMazik Mishusa Nizik. It says when you have a Shur HaMazik, even Karen Tam, if it's in Mishusa Nizik, it's going to be Chayb Nizik Shalom. Now, that's coming out like Rabbi Tarfon, who says, Mishuna Karen Mishusa Nizik, you pay Nizik Shalom. So it turns out that the Breisha is the Rabbanan, and the Sefer is like Rav Tarfon. So the first answer the Gemara gave was yes, like Shmuel said to Rabbi Huda, that the Reisha of the Mishnah is going like the Rabbanan, and the Sefer is going like Rav Tarfon. Then the Gemara continues with a different approach. Rabbi Loza Mishmei de Ravam, he says, as we continue to talk about the Zayin Min Aleph, says, Kula Rav Tarfoni. Actually, the whole Mishnah is going like Rav Tarfon. Reisha, the beginning of the Mishnah, as we pointed out, that seemingly we're talking about like the opinion of the Rabbanan, that explains the Gemara now. It's not actually talking about a complete Chatzar HaNizik. And that's why, since it's not totally, as we'll see, as the Gemara will describe it, it's not totally Chatzar HaNizik, that's why Karen is not going to be a mood to be Chayb Nezik Shalom. Because although, as we're explaining right now, as we see from the Sefer of the Mishnah, Zagreb Tarfon, that Karen Bishus HaNizik is Chayb Nezik Shalom, so too, there shouldn't be any tamen. The five tamen should be nezik shalom, because it's not really a rishus nezik. Now, in spite of that, as we pointed out, which was seemingly why the Gemara assumed that it was like drabanan, is because by shein and regel we said that it's going to be chayv, and we know shein and regel is only chayv in rishus nezik. So it explains the Gemara, the reish is toma b'chotza miuchadis l'peiris l'achad mehen. It depends for what it is rishus nezik, and for what it's considered rishus rabim. And that is because this courtyard was designated for only the Nizik to have his peiris over there. The victim, he's the only one that was allowed to have his peiris over there. But ulazeh ulazeh l'shvarim, both the Mazik and the Nizik were allowed to both bring in their oxen over there. So as the Gemara explains, delagabi shein havi l'chatzah nizik. This same field, regarding the Mazik of shein, is considered a chatzah nizik. Because it is ubir b'stei achar, he's the only one that's allowed to have his peiris over there. So regarding that, Shein is mu'edis lechel, because regarding Shein it is considered Rishus of the Nizik. But regarding Karen, but regarding goring with horns, that, as the Mishnah said, is only going to be Chayav Chatzin Nizik. Why? Isn't it Rishus of Nizik? And isn't it going like Reb Tarfon holds that Karen Rishus of Nizik is Chayav Nizik Shalom, as we see from the end of the Mishnah? No, because regarding the oxen, both of them are allowed to bring in their oxen over there, and therefore have your Rishus Rabim. Therefore, it's like public domain, because for that, it is considered a shared area, and not a Rishus of Nizik, not a Birbis, not in the Ste'acher, not in that in the Rishus of Nizik. And that's why, so although regarding Shein, it is Rishus of Nizik, and that's why it's going to be Chayav Nizik Shalom as a Mu'ud, that doesn't contradict that we're going like Reb Tarfon, who although he holds a Karen Rishus and Nizik, as we see from the Sefer, holds Nezik Shalom, but regarding Karen, it's not Rishus and Nizik, because they're both allowed to bring in their oxen over there, although regarding Peiris, only the Nizik is allowed to have it over there. Now, however, on this interpretation of Rebbe Lazar, the Gemara says, Amar of Kahana, says, Amrita l'shmaita kamed Rav Zvid min Arda. I said over this interpretation of the Mishnah in front of Rav Zvid from Arda, V'amali, and he said to me, could you really say this interpretation that the whole Mishnah is like Reb Tarfon? Not like the first answer the Gemara had given that the Reish is the Rabban and the Seva is like Reb Tarfon. But Hakatani, but we learned in the Mishnah as follows. The Mishnah says, Hashem mu'edis lechel eser rahula. One of the five mu'adim are the mazik of Shein, which is mu'ed, it's something that's considered normal for the ox, for the animal to eat what's fit for it. Now, the inference is from the wording of the Mishnah, it sounds like, rola in. only something that's fit for an animal to eat, like fruits and vegetables and herbs, that is where it's going to be nezik shalom for the mazik of shein. She'ein ro'ola, but let's say it's eating something that's not fit for an animal to eat. It's eating clothing or utensils, which animals don't usually eat. Sounds like from the Mishnah, that loy, that then there's not going to be a chiv of nezik shalom as a mood for when it's being mazik with its teeth, because that's what's called mishune. It's not normal. It's something that's distorted, and therefore the liability would only be chatzi nezik. That's what it sounds like from the Mishnah. Now, on that, asks the Gemara, V'i Reb Tarfin. Now, if you're saying that the Mishnah is going like Reb Tarfin, as Rashi points out, we just explained that obviously we're told that regarding Shein, it's the Rishos HaNizik. Because you said that it's told that's how you describe the case, how it's going to be like Reb Tarfin. And that regarding Peiris, it was only the Nizik that was allowed to have his Peiris over there. So if we're told regarding Shein as the Rishos HaNizik, and here he's doing something, the animal is being mazik with its teeth, but in an abnormal way, where it's eating something it's not normally eating. Ha'amar mishuna karen b'chadzra nizik nezik shalom mishalim. The question is, why are you saying, when it's being mazik with its teeth, only what's rolo is it going to be mu'ud, to be chayim nezik shalom? But if it's not mu'ud, if it's something weird, if it's something not normal, then it's not any more shein, which we said the characteristic of shein is that it derives pleasure, it's normal for it to do it, but when something abnormal, then it's the characteristic of Karen, which has the first three times, we don't expect it for it to do that. It's going to be Chayim only Chatzi Nezik, but why? Even if it's Karen, but you just described that it's all taking place B'Shus HaNizik. If it's B'Shus HaNizik and you think it's like Reb Tarfin, Reb Tarfin holds Karen B'Shus HaNizik, it's Chayim Nezik Shalom. So how can you say that the Mishnah is going like Reb Tarfin? If that was the case, then why would you say Shein is Mu'edis, only eat Lechel Sarola? Even what's not Rola would still be Mu'ed, would still be Chayim Nezik Shalom, albeit not through Shein, but through Karen. So Rav the Gemara says, Lo'ilam Rabbanan. Truth is that it's not like Reb Tarfin the Mishnah, rather it's like Drabbanan. Now if it's like Drabbanan, then we have the contradiction from the Sefer. The Reisha sounds like Drabbanan, where yes, Karen B'Shus HaNizik is going to be Chatzi Nezik, but the end of the Mishnah sounded like that one of the five Mu'adin were when it's Asher is being Mazik, B'Shus HaNizik, seemingly including even Karen Tam, which is like Reb Tarfin. So the Gemara says, no, V'chasuri Mechzer V'chakitani, that word's missing from the Mishnah, and this is the way it's supposed to say it. As follows. The Mishnah says, Chamisha Tamim. There are five different types of Mazikin that are Tam. They only Chayiv Chatzin Nezik the first few times. They are goring with the horns, which is called Negicha. There's Negifa with its body to deliberately inflict harm, neshicha, biting to break something, revitza, laying on something, beitza, kicking something. Now, ve'im huadu. Now, but if they were warned a few times and they did it and they did it again, thus becoming a shar hamu'ed, chamishasan mu'adin. As Rashi explains, what the Gemara is saying is, that's a new interpretation of the Mishnah. Up until now, we thought the Mishnah was, it speaks about these five as tamen. Then it says what the rest of the Mishnah is, delineating all the five mu'adin. And that is what the Gemara is answering right now. No. The five mu'adin that it mentions in the Mishnah are these five tamen. After they did it a few times, they now become five mu'adin, meaning to do negicha, negifa, neshicha, revitza, be'ita, after three times being warned, now they are the five mu'adin. Now, as the Gemara points out, this that the Mishnah then continues to say that a shein is mu'edis lechel esarolo, etc., that's not going on the counting of the five mu'adin. Rather, this is what the Mishnah is saying, starting a new topic. It's just saying, v'shein v'regel mu'adin mitchilasa, that regarding damaging with its teeth to eat something or through its walking with its feet, that is something that it's a mood from the beginning. Now, moreover, so that's just a side point. It's just a different halacha being mentioned. Now, this that the Mishnah then continues and says, v'shur ha-mu'ed, and also a shur that's mazik b'shus ha-nizik, and that is what the Mishnah is saying is, v'heichin ha-da'asan. Now, regarding this new halacha that we spoke about regarding Shein and Regel, when it says the word shur ha-mu'ed, it's not a new case. We thought up until now we were counting Shein and Regel as one case of mu'ed, the shur ha-mu'ed, which we thought was all those five tamen, when they did it a few times, they become a shur ha-mu'ed, shur ha-mazik b'shus ha-nizik. We thought these were all cases of the mu'adin. No, the five mu'adin mentioned in Mishnah are the five tamen after they did it a few times. This is the Mishnah's continuing as new halachas, just other halachas. Shena regal is a mood right away. And that the Mishnah is qualifying. Heichan adasan, which in the wording of the Mishnah is the word shar hamud. Where do they become mood? Where is shena regal considered mood to be chayim nizik shalom? That's b'chatzra nizik. Those are the two, what we thought were two different mu'adim, are actually one sentence qualifying the previous halacha. This that we said chain regal moad mitchalasan, it's a shur hamud only when it's a shur that's being mazik b'shusan nizik. Because as we know, shein regal are exempt mishus harabim. It's only chayav mishus hanizik. That's how the Gemara answers the question. So therefore, that's not a contradiction. It's not when it's saying shur hamazik b'shusan nizik. It's not referring to keren tam. It's not going like Reb Tarfon. It's all like drabanan. Keren b'shusan nizik is only chatzin nizik. This is a qualification of the halacha of shein regal. Now, this the Gemara asks Maskev Ravina. Ravina asks on this interpretation that the Gemara just gave. Hakatani lekaman. We learned later on in the second parak in parak Ketzad that we're it's on Chav Dalam Abayz where the Mishnayis there are elucidating and elaborating on all the Mu'adin that we mentioned here in the first parak, and it explains each one in particular, goes through each one in the second parak. So the Mishnah there says, Shur hamazik b'shus hanizak keitzah, this that we mentioned in the first parak, meaning referring to our Mishnah, that when you have a shur that's being mazik b'shus hanizak, how is that case? And it talks about it. So on that asks the Gemara, Iyamid b'shloima ayriba, if you're saying that when we're saying these words over here, as we had assumed in the Gemara's Havamina, that we were talking about a case of keren tam b'shus hanizak regarding paying nezik shalim, and that was mentioned here in the first parak. So Mishum Hachi, it's because of that why it explains it in the second parak where it's Ketani Ketzad, where it says, and how is that? What's this case that we're talking about that when you have a Shara Mazik that the halach is going to be B'shus HaNizik, which the Mishnah there explains in the second parak is the Machlikis or Tafin Rabbanan. So that would make sense if, as we had assumed the Gemara up until now, that the word Shara Mazik B'shus HaNizik was referring to Keren Tam, the even Negicha in the first few times, that it could be Chayav Nezik Shalom, which would be like Reb Tarfon. And that's what the Mishnah there explains, that that is based on the Machlekes Reb Tarfon and Rabbanan. But Eli Iyamret Lo Yariba, but if you're going to explain, as what the Gemara is explaining right now, that regarding that halacha of Keren Tam B'shus HaNizik was never mentioned here in this parak, because you just said that this word Shur HaMazik B'shus HaNizik is just qualifying the halacha of Shein and Regel, that when do they consider Shur HaMu'ud only if it's being done B'shus HaNizik, then my Ketzad. Then where's that Ketzad of the second parak coming to explain, as all the other Mishnayos there are coming to explain something mentioned here in this first parak? It's never mentioned over here, because you just said it has nothing to do with Keren Tam. You're saying it's so much Shein and Regel. So El Amar Ravina, rather Ravina explains as follows. He says, similar to like what the Gemara said before, but changing it because he obviously can't say that it's not talking about Keren Tam B'shus HaNizik. So rather he says, Chesur Mechzer V'Achitani, there are words missing, and this is what it says in the Mishnah. Chamisha Tamen Hain, it talks about the five types of Keren and its Teilados that are considered Tam the first three times. Then, Vim Huadu, Chamishasin Muadin. Then, if it was warned three times, then all those five Tamen are now the five Muadin. And as the previous Gemara was saying, that's what the Mishnah means when it talks about five Tamen and five Muadin, not what the Mishnah then continues to say. But rather, these five, after three times, they're the five Muadin. Now, B'shem B'regel, Muadin Mitchalasin. As the previous Gemara's Teretz had said, up until now it's the same, where that's not going on the counting of the five Mu'adin. Rather, it's coming to say other things that are Mu'adin mitchalas and that they're Mu'ud from the beginning, which Shein and Regel are Mu'ud right away. Now, V'zehu Shur HaMu'ud, which, as Rashi explains, what the Mishnah here is saying is that this that we said before, although something was in the middle when it talks about Shein and Regel, Mu'adin mitchalas, now the Mishnah is going back to what it said before. This that we said that if those five Tamen are warned three times, then Chamishas Mu'adin, they're the five that become the Mu'ud. What the Mishnah here is saying is, V'zeu Shara Mu'ud, when it says in the Torah that a Mu'ud pays Nezik Shalom, it's referring to those five, which when they were Tamen, were Chatzi Nezik, after three times, they become Nezik Shalom. That's the Shara Mu'ud that mentioned in the Torah. Then the Mishnah continues and says, V'shur HaMazik B'shus HaNizik, and then a regular Keren Tam. In the Rishus of the Nizik is Machlekes Reb Tarfon v'Rabbanan. That's Machlekes Reb Tarfon and Rabbanan, which is mentioned in the second parak, and the other Mazik mentioned in our Mishnah, of Adam and man. So it's not a contradiction to say that our whole Mishnah is like the Rabbanan, because although it mentions Shur HaMazik B'shus HaNizik, that's not going like Reb Tarfon. To the contrary, the Mishnah is saying that that is a Machlekes, these are the words that are missing, that's a Machlekes Reb Tarfon v'Rabbanan mentioned later on in the second parak. And moreover, the Mishnah continues and says, which we had asked actually, on the Mishnah, which the Mishnah, now the way it's being said is, V'yesh mo'adim acherim ka'yitzbeilu, and there are also other mo'adim, which now the Gemara has come to explain the safe of the Mishnah, which are also the same thing, that from their inception, from the beginning, the first time they're mazik, no matter what it is, they're going to be chayiv nezik shalom. They are Hazaev, the wolf, Ari, the lion, Vadaev, the bear, Vabardos, and the bardless, which the Gemara later on is going to explain what that is, Vanomer, the leopard, Vanochash, and the snake, they are Mu'adim Mitchilasim. So therefore, that's the Gemara's now, new approach. Actually, the whole Mishnah is like the Rabbanan, and the Seifa, when it mentions Bishus HaNizik, is not going to say these are one of the five Mu'adim. It's just talking about other things that are Mu'adim, and it mentions at the end the case of Shor HaMazik, Bishus HaNizik, which, yeah, that's the Machlekes Rabbanan and Reb Tarfon mentioned in the second parak. That now we requalified the way we understand the Mishnah. Up until now, as we had read from Rashi in the Mishnah, that we thought the five Taman were these five, and then the five Mu'adin were one of these cases, which Shor HaMazik, Bishus HaNizik. Now that would be a contradiction. That would be very difficult when you're saying five Taman, five Mu'adin. Well, one part, Reisha sounds like Rabbanan, Seva sounds like Reb Tarfon, and then we say, no. The five Mu'adin are those five Taman after they did it three times. So that's one cohesive statement. That's all like Rabbanan. What we mentioned at the end, that's other things, and that could be referring to Machlekes Reb Tarfon and Rabbanan. So Tanya Malach is similar in the Braisa, the same interpretation. Chamisha Tamenhein, there are five Mazikim that are Tam the first few times. V'muhadu, but if they're warned, they do it a few times. Then Chamishas Mu'adin, they are the five, that now they're Mu'adin, now they're Nezik Shalom. Moreover, V'shein V'regel Mu'adin Mitchilasin, the Mazik of Shein and Regel are Mu'ad from the beginning. And Bezeh HaShar Mu'ad, and going back to what we said just before, these five Mazikin, and the Gicha, Neshicha, all those other things, which are Talodas of Karen, when they do it a few times, this is the Shor HaMu'ad that was mentioned in the Torah, that then it's Chayv Nezik Shalom. And then, Shor HaMazik, B'shus HaNizik, Machlikis, V'tavim Rabbanan, as we had interpreted before, that even when a Karen, which is Tam, if it damages in the domain of the Nizik, that's Machlikis, V'tavim Rabbanan, if that's still Chatz Nezik, or maybe going to be Nezik Shalom. And then, V'yesh Mu'adim Machayim Kayetz Be'el, so too, there are other Mu'adim that are the same thing, that are also Chayv Nezik Shalom right away, which are Ze'ev, V'ari, V'adoy, V'anam, V'abartlis, V'hanachash. That's therefore the resolution of the halacha of the Mishnah. You could either say, like the Gemara said in the previous daf, that it's Reish Rabbanan, Sefer Reb Tarfon, or we could say that the whole Mishnah, again regarding the five Tam, five Mu'adin, are all the opinion of the Rabbanan. Now, actually, Ikedir Ramulo Mirma, those who pose a contradiction as follows. Tznan, on the one hand, we learn in our Mishnah, Chamisha Tam v'chamish Mu'adin, that there are five Tais of Mezikin that are only Chatzin Nezik, and five that are Nezik Shalom that are Mu'adin. Now the question is, V'sulaka, are there no other ones? But V'ikka, there are, and it's even mentioned in our Mishnah itself. The Mishnah goes later on at the end, it says, Hazaev, Hari, Vadei, Vanama, Vabardlis, Vanachash. How do we understand? Why does the Mishnah say that there's only five Mu'adin when there's a whole bunch of different animals that are Mu'adin? And the answer was given, again, this is the same thing we said before, just it was posed as a contradiction, that Amravina, Chasur Mechzer Vachakitani, no, the word's missing in our Mishnah, and this is how it should be saying. Don't think, as we had assumed in the beginning of the Gemara, that the five Taman are those Negich and Neshicha, and the five Mo'adin are those other things mentioned, which are Adam, and Shoyim Azik B'Shur Danizik, and Shein Regal. No, that's not worth talking about. Rather, Chamisha Taman Hein, they're the five Taman, V'imhuadu Chamishas Mo'adin, and those five, if they were warned three times, then they become the Mu'adin. Those are the five Mu'adin. Then it goes on to something else. The Shein V'Regel Mu'adin Mitchilasin. Shein V'Regel are Mu'ad from their beginning. V'Seir Shor HaMu'ad, and also the five that we mentioned, that's the Shor HaMu'ad mentioned in the Torah. And V'Shor HaMazik B'Shus HaNizik Machlekes Reb Tarfon Rabbanan. There's also Machlekes, if even a Karen Tam, but if it's in the Shus HaNizik, that might also be Mu'ad Mitchilasin, like Reb Tarfon holds. Yes, you're right. The end of the Mishnah says that there are other Mu'adin also. As we were mentioning, Shein HaRegel, those are also other Mu'adin. The five Mu'adin we mentioned, number five, was only to say the five Taman that they then become, after three times being worn, five Mu'adin too. But of course, there's other Mu'adin, as the Mishnah concludes, others just like this, which are Ze'ev, Ari, Hadoy, Vanama, Vabardlis, Vahanachash. Now, the Gemara goes back to explain the Mishnah when we said that what are the five Taman, what are the five types of Mazikin, which are under the category of Karen, which is Mishunah, then one of them was V'loy Lirvoitz, that it's not a mood in the beginning to lay on something which would to cause damage. That's not normative for an ox, for an animal, and therefore if it does, it's going to be Chatzin Nezik for the first few times. Now, that Omer Abelazi qualifies this halacha. He says, Lo Yishonah Elapachin Gidol. This was only learned, however, regarding if it's laying on large jugs, large kegs. But if it's laying on small vessels, small jugs, well, that's very normal for an animal to lay down in it. And therefore, if it lays down in it in the Rishas HaRabim, it's going to be pater, because it is normative. It is considered a telod of regal, which is the mazik of what's normal for an animal to do in its daily functioning. And therefore, let's say if it's mazik nushas and nizik, it would be chayiv nezik shalom according to everybody. It wouldn't be considered a telada of Karen. It would be considered actually regal because it's normal. It's only when it's pachi gedalim, when that's not normal and it's laying on it, that's going to be Karen mishona and be chayiv only chatzi nezik. So the Gemara says, lemisayele. Let's say the following brisa supports Rabbi Loz's qualification of a mishnah's halacha. Because the brisa says, habehemim hu edis lahalach kedarko l'shaber. It's very normal for an animal which is the mazik of regal, and therefore it's a mood right away the first time to go and walk and to break things as it's walking, because an animal just goes. Ulamach has the most to squash by laying on a person, vesa behem, and an animal, vesa kelim, and the vessels. Now, the problem with this is that our Mishnah, however, said that it's not mu'ed dislibrates. It's not a mood to lay on things. Yet here the Bryce is saying that it is. So obviously what you have to say, and this is what supports Rabbi Loz's qualification, that our Mishnah must be talking about large kelim. And therefore, that's not normal. That's Mishona. Therefore, it's Karen. That's a chatzi nezik. The Bryce is talking about one that lays on small children, small animals, and small vessels. That's normal for an animal to do. And that's why it's going to be considered a mu'ed to pay nezik shalom. So the Gemara says, no, it's not a raya. Because Dilma, maybe this that we learned in the Braisa, that it is mu'edis lamayach, it's normal for it to squash something. It's not by laying on it, which is revitza. Rather, it means min hatzad. Meaning when it's walking and on the side of it are vessels, it squashes it between itself and the wall on the side. That's what we learned on Daf Gimel Amud Aleph, that it was talking about the telodis of regal, which was to be mazik with its body when it's walking. That's where it's going to be mu'ed mitchilasa. But it's not a riot, Rabbi Loz's qualification, and to because as if it's a contradiction to the Allah of our Mishnah, because our Mishnah talking about laying down, could be laying down even by small kelim, would be considered a telodah of Karen. Here, when it's talking about that it is a mu'ed, is because it's on the side, and that's normal for an animal to squash something as it's walking by the side of it, but not to lay down necessarily. Now, Ikadami, there are those that say actually a different version. Amr Balazza, there, Balazza said in the explanation of our Mishnah, he said that Loi Tema Pachin Gedalim Hu Delav Orchei, don't say that the halacha of our Mishnah, that regarding an animal laying on something and breaking it, is going to be Mishunah and only Chatzi Nezek, that it's only by large jugs, which is not normal for it to lay on, of a Pachin Gitanim Orchei Hu, but, and you would say that when it's on small jugs, that's normal, and therefore that would be considered Tola of Regal. Says Rabbi Loza, don't say that. So he says, according to the second version, that even by small jugs, it's not normal for it to lay on it, and if it breaks it, it's only going to be chatzi nezek. And if it does it in the Rishus Aram, it would be chayv, and the Rishus Nizik is not going to be nezek shalom because it's not considered telada of regal. It's always something that's mishona, and therefore telada of Karen. Now that the Gemara says now meisave. Whereas the first version, this was going to support it, now it's going to be refutation from the following brisa. The brisa says, we see that it's mu'ed, it's normal for an animal to squash things. Now, obviously, what's it talking about? By small things. And therefore, that's refutes Rabbi Loza, who says in the halacha of Mishnah that even by pachi gitanim, it's not normal, it's not going to be a talad of regal. On that, Rabbi Loza says, no, dilma min atzad, it's not a contradiction, because that price you could say is tomorrow when it breaks it and smashes it, when it's walking from the side of it, that's normal, that's a mud mitchilasai, but when it's laying on it, it's not normal, not by large and not by small jugs. A third version is, ikadiramulo mirma, that those that actually say it in the way of a contradiction. Because on the one hand, now we learn our Mishnah, that it's not mu'ed, it's not normal to be chayim nezik shalom for an animal to lay on something and break it. And that it was posed about Tanya Balun in the Braisa that says that it is considered an animal that's a mu'ed. It is a mu'ed for it to squash things. So seemingly that's a contradiction. And this third version says, no, Omer Balaz, it says, Loikash, it's not a difficulty, because Kambipach and Gedalim, here in the Mishnah is talking about large jugs, that's not normal, and therefore it's going to be Chayv only Chatzin Nezik, and therefore it's considered a Tam. Khan Bapachikatanam, and the Bryce is saying that it's going to be Nezik Shalom, that it is normal, it's talking about by small jugs, and that's normal for it to squash it, and therefore, even though it's doing it through Revitza, that's why it's going to be Chayim Nezik Shalom. Now the Gemara continues explaining from a Mishnah, where towards the end of the Mishnah it says that there are also other cases that are Mu'adin Mitchilas, and no matter what type of damage they're doing, it's normal for these types of animals to cause harm, and therefore it's responsibility of the owner Shmiras Nalecha to expect it, and therefore make it not harm. Ar Hazaev, Ari, Bechulu, regarding the wolf, the lion, and etc., they're always Mu'adin Mitchilas. Now one of the items mentioned, one of those animals was a Bartlis. So the Gemara says, my Bartlis, what is the definition of what is a Bartlis to understand this halacha of saying that such an animal you have to expect it to cause harm, and that's why it's always a mu'ud. So Rabbi Yehuda says, nafriza. So the Gemara says, my nafriza. So Rabbi Yosef says, apa. Now the Rishonim have different interpretations, either this is a polecat or hyena, certain type of a wild animal that again you expect it to cause damage. Now, Meisvei, however, the Gemara asks on this interpretation of Bardless as apa, because we learned in the Braisa that Remeir Omer, and he was going on the halachas of our Mishnah, of Azev, all these other cases, the Ari and the Bardless, Remeir added on to those of our Mishnah, and he said that Av Hatzavaya, also the Tzavaya is also going to be in that category. Now, Rabbi Elazar Omer, he says Av HaNachash, he says also the snake, as he says similarly in our Mishnah. Now, the problem is that V'am Rabbi Yisrael, Rabbi Yisrael said somewhere else that Tzavaya zu apa. He says Tzavaya is apa. Now, how could Rabbi Yisrael say that Bardless is apa if Remeir is coming to add on to the halachas of our Mishnah? And he says Tzavaya. But if Tzavaya is apa, then Bardless is not apa. How could Rabbi Yisrael say that Bardless is apa and Tzavaya is apa when Remeir is saying, adding on Tzavaya onto the case of Bardless? So the Gemara says, like us, not a difficulty. Kan b'tzavaya zachar. Remeir, when he's saying an apa, is because it's a tzavaya zachar, it's a male tzavaya. Kan, in our Mishnah, the Bardless, which is also an apa, is b'tzavaya nekeva, is talking about a female tzavaya. And that's because Remeir is adding on the tzavaya zachar, but yes, both of them are called apa. The time, like Linda Brysa, that tzavaya zachar is unique, the male tzavaya, is la'achar sheva shanim nasa atalev. After 7 years, it turns into a bat. Where, since it turns into a different creature, that is why Remeir had to add it on to those of our Mishnah to say that it's still going to be from one of those categories that are mu'ud mitchilasai. So therefore, it's not a contradiction. Yes, they're both apa, but one's the male, one's the female. The Bardless is the female one. Remeir is coming to add on the male one, and he has to say that because there's an added dimension of a chiddush over here, because although it turns into a bat, it's still going to be from one of these types of animals that are mu'ud right away. Now, moreover, the Braisa continues in the metamorphosis and the transformation of this Tzavaya Zachar, is that Atalef L'Achar Sheva Shanim Nasa Arpid. So after 7 years, it turns into a bat. Then that bat, after 7 years, turns into Arpid. And Arpid L'Achar Zayin Shanim Nasa Kimosh. After 7 years, that Arpid turns into nettle. And Kimosh L'Achar Sheva Shanim Nasa Chayach. After 7 years, that turns into a thorn. And Chayich La'achar Sheva Shanim Nasa Shade. And after 7 years, that thorn turns into a shade, into a demon. A similar metamorphosis. Shedri Shal Adam La'achar Sheva Shanim, a person's spine, after he passes away, after 7 years, Nasa Nachash, turns into a snake. Now, however, the qualification is V'hanamilid Le'kara B'moidim. That's only if he didn't bow down by Moidim, when he was davening, when you have to bow down, then that's the spine, the tikkun for it is having done that. If it didn't bow down by Maidim, then the spine, which is very similar to a snake, turns into a snake. Now, the Gemara qualifies this braisa, Amamar, the master said, we said, Remei Oima Avet Tzavaya, which we explained that was the male Tzavaya, and the Bardless was the female Apa, the Tzavaya. Now, however, as we continue from the Beis, Rabbi Lazarim, he says, Afa Nachash. The way he's quoted in the braisa is, he says, that also the snake is going to be from those that are Mu'adim Mitchilasim. Now the difficulty with this is that from the fact that he used the words av, sounds like that according to Rabbi Elazar, not only are the other ones mu'adin mitchilasan, but also the snake. Now on that the Gemara asks, but now we're learning the Mishnah, Rabbi Elazar, he says, bizman shehin b'nei tarbus, if they were there, they were domesticated, if they were trained, and they're in a person's house, einan mu'adim, they're not considered mu'adin, these animals, only v'anachash mu'ud la'ilam. Only the snake is always considered mu'ud, but the other one's not. So how could he say in the Braisa the words af, as if also the other ones, actually to the contrary, the only one that he holds is always mu'ud min t'chalasan, is the snake. So the Gemara amends the Braisa, says, t'nei nachash. You're right, you have to learn the Braisa, not the words af nachash, but only take out the word af, just nachash. That's the one that Rabbi Elazar holds is always going to be mu'ud, but the other ones he actually holds, since they can be domesticated, they're not going to be considered automatically a mu'ud. Now, continuing a related discussion regarding these wild animals causing harm, the Gemara says, Amar Shmuel says, Ariber Shusarabim, a lion in the public domain, it depends how it causes damage to see how we're going to qualify it. It says, Daras Va'achal, which literally Daras means to pounce, but the way Rashi qualifies, Daras means to say that if it didn't kill the animal, it's prey first. Rather, it eats it when it's still alive. So on that says Shmuel, then Pater, then the owner of the lion is going to be exempt because it's very normal for a lion to eat its prey that way, without killing it, just eating it alive. And since it's normal, so it's considered terlada of shein, which is that's how the animal has the pleasure of doing it, to eat its prey, and shein b'shas harav is going to be potter. But taraf ha'achol, but if it tears apart the animal, in other words, it kills it first, and only then the lion eats it, then chayiv. Then the owner of the lion is going to be liable, because that's not normal. Because a lion doesn't usually first kill and then eat, it eats it alive, so therefore it's a derivative of keren, which is meshunah, and keren pays chatzi nezek in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. As the Gemara explains, daras va'achol pater, when it pounces and it eats it when it's still alive, the owner of the lion is going to be exempt. Kivin de orchel emitris, it's very normal for an animal, a lion, to pounce and eat it when it's alive. So havalik ha'mashal achol peris v'irak, it's like a regular animal that eats produce, fruits and vegetables in the marketplace. The havalik shein b'shas harav pater, which is the mazik of shein in the public domain, which is very normal. And therefore you're exempt because shein b'shas harav is exempt, it's only ubir b'steacher. Taraf, but if it first tears it apart, it first kills it, lavorchihu, that's not normal for a lion to do. And since that's meshunah, then the owner of the lion is going to be chayiv chatzi nezik b'shas harav. Now in this halacha of Shmuel, the Gemara asks, remember the treifa lavorchihu, is that really to say that a lion to first tear apart the animal, to first kill it, and then eat it, is not normal, and therefore you're saying then he would be chayiv chatzi nezik b'shas harav? But we have a pasuk in Sefer Nochum that says, Aryeh Tayrif, the lion that tears apart, B'dei Gairaisav, where it takes enough food for its cubs, for its children. So obviously you see that a lion is Tayrif, that it does first kill the animal before it eats it as food. So the Gemara says, no, you see from the pasuk, it's talking about B'shvil Gairaisav. It's talking about for its cubs, for its children. Yes, it's normal for the lion to kill an animal, to bring it home, to hide it for its children. But for the lion itself to first kill it and then to eat it for itself, that's not normal. And therefore Shmuel says, you're going to be chayiv chatzi nezek. Now the Gemara continues asking from the terminologies in the pasuk. It says, umechanek liliv oisav, that it strangles the prey for its lioness, for the female lion. So obviously we see that it's normal for it to kill it first and only then later eat it. Now the Gemara answers, no, b'shvil liv oisav, it's only doing it for the lioness to take it back. But for itself, it's not normal for it to do it. But the Gemara continues asking, the pasuk there says, v'yimali terev chayrav, he fills his house with tayrav, with things that he had killed and that he brought back home. So the Gemara says again, b'shvil chayrav, that's only because it's normal for it to kill and to bring it back to its den, to hide it over there, to have it for later. But to eat it right away after it kills, that's the halacha of Shmuel, and that's not normal for it to do. Because if it's eating it now, it would just eat it alive. So the Gemara continues asking, it says, umaynais of treifa, that its lair is with treifa. And again, the Gemara answers, "B'shvil ma'inosav." That's only for it to have it in its lair, in its den. That's normal. But again, if it's eating it right now, that wouldn't be normal. That would be keren. That would be meshunah. But the Gemara continues asking, "But v'tanu lenu b'risa as follows." The b'risa says, "V'chein chaya shenichnas alochatzra nizik," and so to a wild animal that goes into the property of the nizik and tarfa behema, if it tears apart an animal and it kills it. Va'achla baster, and then it eats the meat. Mishalim nezik shalom, it pays nezik shalom. Now, from the fact that it's paying in the chatzar nezik shalom, obviously it's because it's something that's normal, which means to say that it's the derivative of shein, which would thus make it in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim to be potter. And you said when it first kills it and then it eats it, it's not normal. And therefore you said it's chayiv chatzi nezik b'shus harabim. We see from this braisa that it is normal. That's why b'shus and nizik is going to be paying nezik shalim even when it first kills it and then eats it. So why are you saying when it does that same thing in b'shus harabim, it's going to be chayiv chatzi nezik? If it is normal, it is shein, and shein b'shus harabim is patzal legamri. So the Gemara says, no, hachamai iskinon. What are we talking about over here in this braisa? Should tarfa lahanich, when it killed it first, when it tore it apart, was to put it away to hide it. And again, like we said before, that's normal for it to kill it, to have for a later point in time. But if it was eating it right now, then it would be mishuna. I thought the Gemara asked, but ha'achle katan, how could you say that's the case of the Braisa? The Braisa says, tarfa behema, it kills the animal, va'achle basa, and it eats it. So it wasn't to put it away, it was to eat it right away. And you said that's not normal, so why is the chayv nezik shalom, b'shus nizik? So that the Gemara answers, no, it's from a b'shanim l'cha va'achle. No, it killed it to put it away for a later point in time. That's normal. That would be shein, that's why it's nezik shalom. But the case of the Braistama, when it changes the mind and then it ended up eating it. Now, that the Gemara asks, Mina Yadinan. First of all, how do we know that? How can we tell to know the liability of the owner to say, oh, you know why it's Chayav Nezik Shalom? Because although it looks like he really wanted to eat it right now, he didn't really. He really wanted to kill it to put it away for a later point in time. Then the moment after he killed it, he changed his mind. First of all, how do you know that? How are you being, how are you making the mazik liable for nezek shalom? Vay, moreover, asked the Gemara. Then the question becomes, the Shmuel Nami, then Shmuel's halacha too. He said that if it's tarav va'achal, if it first kills it and then eats it in the Rishus HaRabim, that then the owner is going to be chayiv like Karen, which is Mishonah. That the question is, but then why? Why would you say the owner would be chayiv? Delma hachihu, maybe it's the way you just described it. Maybe when the animal killed the other animal, the lion killed the animal first in Rishus HaRabim, maybe it was to put away for a later point in time. And then maybe it changed its mind and then and ate it, which we said that's normal, that's like Shane. So therefore, again, you could really say, maybe the mazik then should be putter in Rishus HaRabim. Why are you saying that it's chayv chatzin nezik to say that, no, that's Mishonah. How do you know it's Mishonah? Maybe the lion first wanted to put away. That's normal to kill it first, and then it changed its mind. So how are you saying it's chayv chatzin nezik? So rather, the Gemara gives a different approach. Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchok says, actually, to resolve the braisa on Shmuel, it's litzdodin katami. In other words, when this that it says in the braisa, which up until now we read as one case, tarfa behem, if it kills an animal, va'achla basan, eats its meat, it's actually, letzdadim, meaning it's told by two different cases. There's one case of shetarfa lohaniach. When it says tarfa behem, it killed it to put it away for a later point in time, and not to eat it. It didn't eat it. You're right, if it ended up eating it, we wouldn't know, and we can't tell any of the other differences. But when it doesn't eat it, it just puts it away. Oy darsa va'achla. Then there was a different case. When it says va'achla basar, is when it eats it alive. That's what the Brisa was saying, B'shalem es nezek shalom. That's exactly like Shmuel. Yes, if it kills it and puts it away, or if it eats it alive right away, those are both normal for the lion to do. That's going to be nezek shalom. Shmuel's halacha wasn't being discussed by the Brisa over here. It wasn't one long case. If it kills it and then eats it, that's not normal for a wild animal to do. And if it does that, then it's going to be chayiv only chatzin nezek b'shalem es nezek shalom. Another approach, Ravina Amar, he says that the truth is that you could say, which would answer all the questions we had up until now, that it is normal for a lion to even first be tarif, to first kill it, and only then eat it. Now, but kikamer Shmuel, when did Shmuel say that in such a case you're going to be chayiv in Rishus HaRabim, but if it's normal, that's Shane, and Shane Rishus HaRabim is pater, he was told about ba'ari tarbus, by a domesticated lion, a trained lion, and he was going like Rabbi Lazar, the Amalav Orche, who says it's not normal for a lion ever to harm. A lion is always going to be mishuna if it's harming, because it's domesticated. The lion is trained, it's not supposed to do any damage. It's just like a regular shard Karen Tam, which is not normal, and that's why, since it's mishuna, it's going to be chatzin nezik b'shus harabim. Now the Gemara asks, but if that's the case that Shmuel was talking about, then afila darsinami, then why did Shmuel only say that, oh, if it's tar v'achal, it's going to be chayiv. Well, why are you saying that? Isn't that normal? No, it's not normal, because we're talking about domesticated lion. The domesticated lion never harms. Then why did he say by the case of daras and nami, then even when it eats it alive, instead of killing it first, that's also not normal. Then also l'chayiv. It should also be liable in Rishus HaRabim chatzinez, because it's mishunah. So El Rav, the Gemara says, you're right. You have to say, Ravina lava Shmuel Itmar. Ravina, who is saying this interpretation that we're talking about retarbus valibid rebelaza, wasn't coming to qualify the lacha Shmuel, because then why would Shmuel have differentiated between doiris or tarif by eating it alive or first or killing it first? So rather, regarding Shmuel, you would have to answer like in that case of the Brisa, as the Gemara in the previous answer had said that it was talking about two different cases. So then, Ella, rather, what was it that Ravina was coming to qualify with the statement that he just said that it's talking about a retarbus, a domesticated lion, and according to Rebbe Lazar? That was coming to qualify Amasnita. He's coming to explain the Brisa. And this is what Ravina was saying. Ki tana Masnita, when did we learn in the Brisa that said that when you have this case of Tarfa Behema V'achla Basar, you're going to pay Nezik Shalom? That's not because it's normal for it to kill and then to eat, and that's how you're qualifying, that's why it's going to be Chayv Nezik Shalom. But rather, it's even talking about, says Ravina, Ba'ari tarbus, you could even say it's told by a domesticated lion. Ba'alibud Rebelaz, and it's going like Rebelaz, Adamalav Orche, who says it's not normal. So don't think, and Ravina is really coming to say like a chiddush in the Brisa, don't think that the reason why the Brisa said Yechayv Nezik Shalom is because it's normal for the lion. I could tell you that it's even talking about domesticated lion, like Rebelaz, who says it's not normal. So then, Ihachi, then the question then is, if so, then how do we understand even the Brisa the way Ravina is explaining it? Well, then chatzin nezik by lishlomei. Then it's true. If it's like Rebbe Lazar, then they should only pay half the nezik because it's not normal. It's mishuna. that the answer is de'ayayid, because it already did it three times. It's already a shur hamud. It's already a rihamud, although a domesticated line is just like a shur regarding Karen, which the first three times is tam. It's not normal, but when you did it a few times, then it's going to be chayv nezik shalom. Now, that the Gemara asks, ihachi, if that's the case, that you're really saying that this halacha of this brisa that we just quoted is a derivative of Karen, because the reason why you chayv nezik shalom is not because, as we had thought, which Ravina is saying, no, because it's normal, and if it's normal, then it's a telada of shein, which is normal for the animal to eat that way. No, it's a domesticated line. It's not normal. It's just that it did already a bunch of times. So the reason why it's going to be chayv nezik shalom is not because it's normal, it's because it's a telada of Karen. Karen, which is not normal, if it does it a few times, then it's also going to be chayv nezik shalom. But then the question is, my haidik tanila, then why do we learn this brisa, which is brought later on the Fitesma Beis, gabi telada de shein, it brings this halacha amongst all the derivatives of the mazik of shein, but gabi telada de Karen boi lebesnaya. But the way you're defining this halacha now, it's not because, as we had assumed up until now, that it's a telada of shein, which is normal for a lion to want to kill an animal and eat it. You're saying it's domesticated, it's not normal, but if it does a few times, then it's chayim, but that's the telada of Karen. Why is it saying it together with all the cases in that brisa of shein? The Shigmar says, Kasha, definitely, the Ravina's halacha would be difficult, as we said, it cannot be interpreting Shmuel, and it would be difficult even in interpretation of the brisa, because then, although it makes sense, the halacha of the brisa, but then why is it saying telada of Karen amongst all the other teladas of shein? Nothing more continues with the next Mishnah, again continuing the theme of the previous Mishnah, which we had said there's five tam and five mo'adin. So now the Mishnah wonders, ma bein tam l'mu'ud. What is the halachic differences between the shur tam and the shur mu'ud regarding the mazik of Karen, when it gores, when it's intention to damage, when it's something that's not the usual, when we said the first few times it's tam, and then after it becomes a mu'ud, what's the difference? So the Gemara says, Ela shah tam esham chatzi nezik mekufay. It's that when it's a shur tam, the first few times, the owner of the mazik only pays half the damages. Moreover, it could only be collected from the value of the mazik of the animal itself, which is, let's say, if the damages were way more, and the half the damages even of what was damaged is going to be worth more than the value of the ox that damaged itself, you cannot collect from the owner's bank account. Whereas a mu'ud, but when it's a shur hamu'ud, when they already did it three times, mishalem nezik shalem min aliyah, then, first of all, yeah, the owner of the ox has to pay the full amount of the damages, not just half. And moreover, it's even if the ox that gored is not worth the amount of the damages, the owner of the ox has to pay from the best of his stuff. He has to pay up even from his bank account, no matter how he has to get the money, he has to pay it up, not just from the value of the ox itself. And the reason being is because by the shur hamu'ud, it says in the pasuk, Yishalom shur tachas hashur. You have to compensate an ox for the ox. And it doesn't say like it does by shur tam, that you collect only from the body of the shur that gored, and that's the only place you'd be able to collect from. And that's why there, you could collect even from his assets, from his money that he has at home. Now the Gemara asks just regarding the terminology of the Mishnah, my aliyah, when it says by mu'ud, you collect nezik shalom from the aliyah, what does the word aliyah mean? So Amr Belazer says, b'mu'ula shebenachasav, it means the best of his properties, meaning as we know regarding nezakin, we said you collect from idis, here it's not just collecting from the shur hamazik itself, like by tam, you could collect from the best of the stuff that he has. As the Gemara says, v'cheinu emir sotu, like the pasuk says in Divrei Yamim Beis, says, v'yishkav chizkiyo mavoisav, the chizkiyo lay down, meaning when he passed away with his fathers, and they buried him in the Ma'ale, as we'll see, in the best of the burial places of the sons of David, where V'amr Balazi said, what does Bama'ale mean? It's a ma'ulim shebe b'mishpacha, next to the best, the most distinguished of the family of the Davidic dynasty, which Ma'aninu, that David Shleim is referring, that he was buried next to David Shleim. So we see the word Aliyah means the best. Now, so too the Gemara continues, or the pasuk in Divrei Yamim Beis that says v'yikberuhu b'kfiraisav. This is referring to Asa, who is the king of Yehuda of Judea, that they buried him in his burial place. Ashakar lo bi'ir David, that he dug for himself in the city of David. V'yishkavuhu b'mishkav asher mole b'samim uznim, and they lay him down to bury him in the where he had made for himself, which was full with besamim, with aromatic spices, and znim. So the Gemara says, my besamim uznim. What does this mean? What's his nim? So Rabbi Lazar Omar, he says, and that's what we're quoting this another statement from Rabbi Lazar regarding burial, says, zine zine. Whereas we find the pasuk in Bereshis, in the beginning it says that Hashem made all the different species, Leminehu, with Targum translates, Liznehu. So the word Zineh refers to many different types. So in other words, he had filled the burial place with many different types of aromatic spices and scents. Shmuel ben Nachmanim, he gives a different interpretation of what Uznim is. It's Bisamim, Shekola Mariach ben Boladei Zima. He had filled up his burial place with spices that were so aromatic that it would someone that smells it would bring him to sexual immorality, to lewdness, which that's related to the word zine, which is the word of znim, is znus. So that's the qualification of the type of besamim that he had in his place of kavur. Now Gemara continues with a pasuk in Yirmiyah. It says, Ki charu shucha l'lechdeini, because they dug a pit to trap me. Ufachim tamnu l'ragli, and traps they had set out, they hid for my feet. This was said regarding Yirmiyah HaNavi. So what is this a reference to? So again, Rabbi Lazar, another interpretation from Rabbi Lazar, he says, Shechashdu mizayna, that they suspected Yirmiyah HaNavi from having relations with a zayna, with a harlot. Now, moreover, as Tesis points out, Yirmiyah was a kohen, and the kohen is forbidden to relate with a zayna. Shmuel ben Nachmani, he says, Shechashdu me'eshes ish. They suspected him by having an adulterous affair, a relationship with a married woman. So the Gemara asks, Bishlam Lamandam Shachashdu Mizayna, according to the interpretation that says that this pasuk is referring to, what does it mean that they were setting traps for Yirmiyah HaNavi? Is that they were suspecting him of having relations with a Zayna. Haindachsev, that's what it says in the pasuk in Mishlei, Ki Shulcha Amuka Zayna, because a deep pit is a Zayna. So that's what makes sense when it says that he says they dug for me a Shulcha, it's referring to suspecting me with a Zayna. But according to the one that says that they expected him from having relations with a married woman, my shucha, why is that referred to and alluded to by saying a pit? Which the Gemara answers, what do you mean? Atu eishes ish minafke mechalal zayna? Do you think a married woman is any less, is excluded from the categorical relations of having a relationship with a zayna? It's the same thing, if not worse. So therefore, that could also be alluded to with the word shucha, as we see that refers to a zayna. And the Gemara continues asking and says, according to the interpretation that says that they suspected him of a relationship with a married woman, that's what it would say when Yirmiyah says there in the pasuk in Yirmiyah, Va'ata Hashem Yodaten, Hashem, you know, that all their counsel is regarding me to have me killed. Now that makes sense because relationship with a married woman is a chiv misa. But according to the one that says that they suspected him of having a relationship with a zayna, my lamavis. What is this that he's referring to when he says that they're trying to kill him? Relationship with a harlot, but if she's single, is no death penalty. So what is that referring to? On that, the Gemara says it's referring to something else. Sheshlichu le'er tid, because they threw him into a pit of mud, of cement, of lime. They threw him into such a pit, and with that they were trying to kill him. But it's not referring to the fact of what they were trying to spread rumors about him with his relationship with the zayna. Now, the end of the pasuk over there, regarding that, Darish Ravi says, Maidach said, what does it say over there at the end of that pasuk? That the Yirmiyah said, Yiyu mukhshalim lefanecha, they should be stumble in front of you. Be'ez apcha sebehem, at the time of your anger, you should do with them. In other words, that's what Yirmiyah was referring to, his enemies that were trying to kill him. So, what is this referring to? So, Ami Yirmiyah lefanecha kodesh bochu, Yirmiyah was saying in front of a kodesh bochu, Rebbein Nishol, the master of the world. My enemies, even when they do charity, whereas Tosafot points out, we already see charity here in the pasuk, it's because the word lefanecha, when it says you mukshalim, there should be mukshalim regarding lefanecha. The term lefanecha is a reference to tzedakah, as we find the pasuk in Yeshaya Nunches, v'halach lefanecha tzedakah. So we see that the word in front of you is referring to tzedakah. So he's saying that even when they do charity, hachshilam bivnei adam she'in huganim. You should have them stumble, that the charity shouldn't work out. They should be giving charity to people that are not appropriate recipients of the charity. So that's what it means when it says in the pasuk, yumuchsham, they should stumble when it's regarding lefanecha, regarding charity, kadeshli kabla lein sachar, that they shouldn't receive reward for that, because I don't want them to have reward, and they're going to have to get the good in this world. Let them stumble, even when they're giving charity, it shouldn't be done in the right way, and therefore they should be getting the deserving right of trying to kill Yirmiyah HaNavi.